Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. By at least one count, Greater Boston is home to 175 historic churches. Think Trinity Church in Copley Square, King's Chapel right in downtown Boston. Those two are examples of meticulously preserved gems that draw thousands of visitors each year. But not all 175 are so well cared for. Many congregations are shrinking, and most congregations that are growing are poor. The result is that dozens of religious buildings that would be considered priceless in less historic cities are being reduced to slumping, leaking, boarded-up shadows of their former selves. But starting this weekend, one organization in Boston hopes to give those churches a lift. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea has this story.
Everybody's got their own idea of a horror story. For Judy Nicewander of the Boston Preservation Alliance, this is hers.
I was talking to a minister from a suburban community that I shall not name. The congregation simply couldn't support their wonderful historic church. They had huge stained glass windows. 10 of them were by Tiffany. They sold them to a fellow who breaks up Tiffany stained glass windows and uses the pieces to make lampshades.
Oh my God.
That's the kind of tragic outcome that we would really like to avoid.
Judy's brought me to Upham's Corner in Dorchester. From the widow's walks atop the grand old mansions, you can see the ocean. But the majority of the buildings now are in some state of disrepair. Every few doors there's a bright spot, though, where someone is working hard to restore what once was. People like the Reverend Kathy George of St. Mary's Episcopal Church, an 1888 church on Jones Hill.
So here we are in the sanctuary.
Yes, and it's a beautiful sanctuary, and we have beautiful Tiffany glass windows. This was the church of the Boston Brahmins when Jones Hill and Dorchester was the fanciest place to live in Boston.
This church was designed by Henry Vaughan, the eminent Gothic revivalist behind Washington National Cathedral and St. John the Divine in New York. He did St. Mary's a few years earlier in the traditional parish style of his native England.
The reason it's covered in tarps is we're putting on a new roof.
A sea of blue tarps protects exquisite wood and stoneworks that have survived at least three decades of decline here. When Reverend George took over a few years ago, attendance was
between 15 and 20 here on a Sunday. I mean, it was ready to close because they couldn't begin to support the kind of operating budget to even heat this and run it, let alone even begin to think about restoration.
And before Reverend George could think about restoration, she had to rebuild her parish. She reached out to new arrivals in the neighborhood with programs like the food pantry she's running today.
We have committed Anglicans from the Caribbean. We have a whole community on Jones Hill that is doing an amazing job of refurbishing these beautiful Victorian homes, and many of them are gay men who have taken an interest in the church.
It's with that diverse group of people, some with money, some with skills, that Reverend George has started to make improvements. They cleared out decades of accumulated junk. They built a new playground, but there were still bigger problems to tackle.
We had an enormous leak behind the organ, and when we got a ladder high enough and found someone willing to climb up into the roof and look, a seedling of a tree had seeded in the gutter, and we had a 2.5-foot trunk of a tree growing right out of the roof. So the need for a new roof was
apparent. Yeah.
After the Episcopal Diocese became convinced that Reverend George was bringing the church back to life, they sold another declining church in South Boston, freeing up $500,000 for the new roof they're putting on St. Mary's right now.
It's like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Judy Nicewander of the Boston Preservation Alliance took me here to see a success story of a historic church that was saved and an example for others. But how replicable is this story? After all, it was the Episcopal diocese that came through with the big bucks.
Many of the historic churches don't have that kind of support. Many of them are independent. And, of course, the fastest growing sector of the faith community are the evangelical community churches that often have taken over churches from mainline denominations, moved into them, and then they don't have any support in keeping up the buildings.
So what to do about it? Well, this weekend, the Boston Preservation Alliance is organizing a first-of-its-kind workshop on the preservation of religious properties. An array of speakers who will offer tips on mobilizing volunteers, applying for grants, sourcing materials, workshops on topics from stained glass restoration to energy efficiency. Representatives from dozens of churches are planning to attend, but it's interesting that the people from the Alliance are still a little defensive in the way they're couching Saturday's event.
Historic preservation can be intimidating to a lot of people.
Sarah Kelly, executive director of the Boston Preservation Alliance.
There's a perception out there that it means people from outside a community coming in and telling you what you can and can't do with your building.
And that's absolutely not true, because the best way to preserve a building is to use it, and to use it for the purpose for which it was built, and to have a church like this cared for by a congregation that understands and appreciates it.
Well, sure, but the context for this conversation is all about preserving these churches as churches. But all you have to do is look to Western Europe, where religiosity is plummeting, and the way that they're preserving a lot of those structures that are so vital to their culture is as museums or repurposing them.
I would say that may be a topic for another conference.
Obviously, this is a sensitive question for them. Sarah and Judy want to preserve buildings, but the church stewards they're inviting to this weekend's workshop want to preserve faith communities. And the two interests don't always align. Just look at all the churches in the South End and South Boston and Cambridge that have been converted to condos.
It still has some of its presence on the street as a church, which is a good thing, but it's okay. It's a little sad.
There are certainly situations in which a church does close, but there are still many situations where you do have congregations that want to continue. And we think with some additional technical assistance
and support,
many of them do have a chance.
That story from Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. Adam, this conference on Saturday, is it expected to be well attended?
It really is. They're expecting as many as 50 churches are going to be represented there. And I should mention that if you go online to wbur.org/Boston, you can see the interior of St. Mary's, plus some pretty terrific before and after shots of Roxbury Presbyterian Church, which has had a lot of work done. And that church, by the way, is where that workshop takes place this Saturday, and registration is still open.
Adam, thank you.
You bet.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.